magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, February 12th, 2020. And if you're wondering, is Marianne going to be back? She wasn't with Mark on Tuesday. She's still dealing with a strep throat, and we're giving her at least an additional day off or two. And so she's on the mend, and she is very remorseful because she wanted to be a part of this interview. We have a special guest that I was able to pull off in the last minute. So thank you so much, Jim, for being available on such short notice and taking my call. And I wanted to feature you as I was thinking, who could I pull in for our Prime Life Times in Review, which we always read a story. Many times we have the content contributor with us. And as I looked at the front page of this month's edition, the February edition of the Prime Life Times, they said, this is a great article, 5 Ways Love is Good for Your Health by Jim Russell. And Marianne's bragged up this guy for a long time, and I thought, well, I'll just call him and see if he's available. And thank you on very short notice to be available today, Jim.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad we could work it out so I can maybe help out a little bit.
Yeah, I love the topic, and with Valentine's Day being 2 days away, it's an alert, man. You know, don't forget to get that chocolate, those flowers. Don't purchase anything with a warranty for your wife for Valentine's Day. You'll be in the doghouse. But we're going to talk a little about ways that love can improve your life, make you happy. It's a stress buster.
Yeah, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of good things from being in a relationship that enhances life and just makes it better.
Well, Jim, I don't know if you've tuned into the morning program, but I have a habit of talking to the special guest for about 10 or 15 minutes before we finally get around to actually introducing them. So before I introduce you formally, I just want to highlight for some of our listeners maybe out of town or traveling or that missed the Monday or Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. On Monday, we had Stephen Hughes in. He's a co-director of Rescue Us Ministries, and he helped us talk about 2 Corinthians 7:14 as our memorization Monday verse. And the Singing Men of GNN will be helping raise some funds for 3 different food banks in the Georgetown area, and that'll be happening on Friday night, February 21st. And there's a dinner from 4 to 6 p.m., chili dinner along with deluxe tasty beef hot dogs. And then from 6 to 7, the Singing Men of GNN will put on a full concert. So we invite you all to come out to Georgetown, 503 North Main Street, the First Church of Christ in Georgetown, Friday, February 21st, 4 to 6 p.m. for dinner, 6 to 7 p.m. concert. And then on Monday, we had Rob Dahlhaus with See You at Home talking about and thanking all of you that were involved in raising over $300,000 that will go towards their See You at Home ministry to help those without an address and those that are homeless. So we appreciate Rob being available. But today, the special guest is Jim Russell, and he serves as the executive director of the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board in Danville. Now, what's the 708 Board stand for, Jim?
The 708 boards were enacted by legislation passed in the House of Representatives originally back in the 60s. It was actually Bill 708, so that's where the name comes from. But we have the responsibility for taking a small sliver of county property taxes and then allocating that to agencies that provide services for citizens in Vermilion County. Those services include substance abuse treatment, mental health counseling services, services to people with developmental disabilities. So we help fund 4 different agencies and 2 different individuals who are involved in that type of work. We have one person who is working full-time to do what we call complex service planning. She's involved with families who are involved in more than one service group at a time and tries to help people negotiate those programs. Mm-hmm. We have a part-time counselor that we help fund at the Juvenile Detention Center here in Danville. She works with the population of young people who have gotten in some trouble with the justice system and tries to provide some help for them. And then we help fund Crosspoint Human Services, which does counseling work and DD services, WorkSource Center, which works again with citizens with developmental disabilities. Mm-hmm. We help fund Rose Grants, who does substance abuse treatment. And we help fund the Hoopston Multi-Agency in the north end of the county, which tries to get whatever services are needed to the clients who come in their front door.
Well, it seems like you're seasoned for this position because you've served the last, I guess, about 5 years since 2014 as the executive director, and you served there in Danville. You have your Master's of Science degree in counseling. You're a licensed clinical professional counselor, LCPC, and a licensed sex offender treatment provider. You're also certified for mental health first aid. Now, what's mental health first aid? What do you do?
The simplest way to explain what that is it's CPR for the mind. People get trained for CPR. They get trained to provide physical first aid. You know, people at work go through some trainings to help people who are in physical distress, who have some sort of injury. The mental health first aid program is intended to help people feel like they're equipped to try to help somebody who's struggling in an emotional or mental health issue. It's an 8-hour training. We do an adult curriculum as well as a youth curriculum. And we tell people, we emphasize through the training, that this does not qualify you to do diagnosis and treatment. Right. It qualifies you to be that first responder who can help somebody recognize that there is a problem and help get that person connected with the services that they need. So we're in our fifth year of doing that training. And so far we've trained right around 3,000 people. The first 3 years we did it under a grant where we were covering 4 counties, and then the last year plus we've been doing it primarily in Vermilion County, but we've reached at this point about 3,000 people with the trainings, and we hope to keep it going.
Well, your work experience includes time with the Center for Children's Services and Catholic Charities in Danville in both therapy and supervisory roles. You have over 40 years in the ministry, having served churches in Illinois, Indiana, Georgia, Tennessee, and Vermont. You've been a contributor to the Prime Life Times since June of 2015, and we so appreciate that. Like I said, Marianne just brags you up. She loves the content and the helpful information that you give. You've been married to lovely Ellen, who is a registered nurse, recently retired from OSF, and you have 2 sons, and both of your sons and daughters-in-law are in education, and you're the proud grandfather of 5 granddaughters. 5 granddaughters, wow,
yeah,
ranging
yeah.
in age from 9 to 19. So, again, thank you for being a part of today's edition of Mark and Friends. And let's talk a little about this story, 5 Ways Love is Good for Your Health by Jim Russell, front page of this month's edition of the Prime Life Times.
Yeah, it's Valentine's week. Mm-hmm. As you mentioned, is 2 days away. February is the month given over to love. And, you know, there's a lot of misunderstanding about what love is, but we're talking about, you know, that agape commitment that the Bible talks about, the real serious sacrificial love, and the fact that there are benefits, of course, hopefully, for the person that you love, the object of your affection, but there's also benefits that you get out of being in that kind of relationship.
Well, how about reading your story as submitted? Then we'll talk a little about, but it's not always easy for many people, even those that are married that maybe are feeling unloved, or those that want to be in a relationship and aren't, or those through the whole gamut are not feeling very lovely themselves, and maybe some ways we can encourage those listeners today. But appreciate your article, and how about just taking it from the top? Again, this is on the front page of the February edition of our Prime Life Times.
5 Ways Love is Good for Your Health. If you're in a relationship, Valentine's Day might be one of the healthiest days of the year, despite the champagne and chocolate. That's because love comes with some solid health benefits, according to a growing body of scientific research. Dr. Helen Reese, director of Empathy and Relational Science Program at Massachusetts General Hospital and author of the book The Empathy Effect, told Time how falling head over heels can help your health both mentally and physically. Love makes you happy. When you first fall in love, dopamine, the feel-good brain chemical associated with reward, is especially active. That's a mood intensifier, so people feel extremely positive and very appreciated, hence that on cloud nine feeling you get in the throes of a new relationship. But new lovebirds also experience a spike in the stress hormone cortisol, and a concurrent drop in the mood-regulating neurotransmitter serotonin.
Okay, stay with us, everyone. If some of these words are new to you, or, you know, you'll figure them out with the context and such. But, yeah, I mean, it's very helpful information as you're walking through. Some people like, oh, I never thought about the chemistry that goes on when you fall in love, or what goes on in your brain and in your body.
Well, it's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, continuing in the next paragraph, that could account for some of the erratic behavior. Passion mixed with anxiety, obsession, and nervousness that often goes along with blossoming love. Dopamine levels can stay elevated even as your love matures, studies suggest, but you'll likely see the cortisol and serotonin levels return to normal, helping you calm down and settle into that relationship without losing the mood-brightening perks.
Hmm.
Then second, love busts stress. After the honeymoon phase subsides, all that dopamine starts to share real estate with another brain chemical, oxytocin, the bonding hormone. Not only does that give you warm and fuzzy feelings for your partner, it can also be good for your health. When people feel securely attached, their stress levels go down. Just being in the presence of someone who greets us with positive regard and caring can actually lower those levels of cortisol and adrenaline and produce greater homeostasis, which means that your neurochemicals are back in balance. If you're away from your significant other, thinking about him or her, talking on the phone, or even texting can help conjure those feelings. Third, love eases anxiety. Quite a few studies have pointed to ways loneliness can hurt your health, from increasing inflammation to activating pain centers. The feeling of loneliness stimulates anxiety, which is mediated by several neurotransmitters. And although cortisol and adrenaline levels rise when people feel insecure and threatened, which triggers your body's stress response, being in love and feeling close to another person can lower that anxiety. Fourth, love makes you take better care of yourself. The benefits of love aren't all in your head. Couples encourage each other to go to the doctor when they don't want to. There's a lot of denial around the illness, and unattached individuals are more likely to shrug off something and say this can't be serious. The data bears this out. People who are paired off might be able to detect melanoma earlier than singles, because a partner can spot suspicious moles right away. The same goes for abnormal bruising, which can be a sign of serious conditions such as leukemia, kidney disease, or Cushing's disease. Sometimes partners even notice signs of allergies or other persistent health problems before the sufferer does. And then fifth, love helps you live longer. Research shows that married couples enjoy greater longevity than singles, making till death do us part even more of a commitment. Studies suggest that those long life benefits are largely explained by consistent social and emotional support, better adherence to medical care, and having a partner who can hold you accountable to healthy lifestyle behaviors and steer you away from bad ones. Married couples have lower rates of substance abuse, lower blood pressure, and less depression than their single peers. But there's also good news for the unattached. In 2010, a review of 148 studies found that longevity benefits were linked to all close social relationships, not just romantic ones, meaning that your friends and family are good for your physical and mental health, too. So there we go.
And then it closes out, please understand that reading these articles will not make you an expert. They're not a substitute for care from your physician or a mental health professional. They are intended only to provide basic information about the issues addressed. Jim Russell, MS, LCPC, is Executive Director of the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board. Well, I appreciate this article, and I was thinking as you were closing out and making some points that it's kind of like in the Bible where there's the importance of assembling together, still meeting up with other believers, other people in a setting where you can mutually encourage each other and hold each other accountable and friendships and break bread together and spend time together. And it seems like whether you're married or you're in relationships with others, it's healthy.
It's healthy. And, you know, we were created social beings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you read through the account of Genesis, you find that everything that God did, he said it was good. But then he gets to make man. Mm-hmm. And that's the only time the phrase, "it is not good," is found in the Genesis account. But that is concluded by saying, "it is not good for man to be alone."
Mm-hmm.
So we were created to be social beings. We were created for social connectedness. We were created to support one another. That's why there's so many one another passages in Scripture, I believe. Mm-hmm. So those relationships make us healthier because that's the way we're put together. That's the way God made us.
Right. I've always kind of pondered, and it's a lofty concept, but even in the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, how there is a relationship, there was interaction, there was love existed in that triune Godhead, which is hard to even comprehend, but how important relationships are for God, for us, for humans, for interacting with one another. And it seems like through your many years of pastoring and working with people, there is that importance of staying connected, not withdrawing, not becoming a hermit by yourself in your home, that we need each other.
Well, and you sort of look at the opposite end of that, and the highest form of punishment in some systems is solitary confinement, where you're completely by yourself. You don't have any contact with anybody else other than maybe just that person who's providing those basic physical needs. And that's used in a punitive way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're taking away the social contact. So, again, we're made to be social beings. We need that social contact, and we need to work on developing and making it as strong as we can.
I want to spend a few minutes talking about the special mental health initiative that you're overseeing there in and throughout the Danville area. But I'm thinking that there's probably some people tuned in today, Jim, that are struggling with feeling unloved, maybe unloved even in a marriage, or feeling loveless, like they don't have anything to offer. What could you suggest or help them think through to recognize that they are valued, that they are loved, that they can come through this, even this hard time during Valentine's Day when everyone's talking about love and people are holding hands, where they may feel really at a loss?
Well, one of the things I encourage people to do is read John 3:16. And instead of seeing, "For God so loved the world," replace the world with "my name." God loves me regardless of my situation, regardless of my circumstance, regardless of how bad a person I may think I am or what kind of situation I'm in. So the first thing is that God loves me. Most of the time, I can encourage people to identify somebody in their life that they've made an impact on and who's made an impact on them. Then I encourage them to try to think about those relationships and that person. And then I always encourage people to do something about it, do something for somebody else, reach out to somebody else who also may be hurting. One of the worst things we can do when we're feeling lonely and or depressed is cut ourselves off from everybody else, because that just makes it worse. At the same time that we're feeling lonely and depressed, the last thing we want to do is reach out to establish contact. But that's the healthiest and most helpful thing we can ever do in that kind of situation. And then one of the things that the rest of us need to be open to is recognizing when people around us are struggling and be willing to reach out to that person and to try to bring a little bit of sunshine into their lives. I've encouraged people, you know, even if you're going into the grocery store, into a restaurant, you're meeting somebody who's coming out, smile and say hello. You don't know what that person's been through the rest of their day. You don't know what kind of baggage they're carrying. And it may be that you're the only person for that person in that day who's greeted them with a positive affirmation. Mm-hmm. So we can strive to help others deal with issues that they're going through. But we can also recognize that when we're in that place, there are some things we can do to make things better.
Right, and I like how you shared an example. It could be something as simple as a kind word, holding open a door for maybe a mother carrying a child, some very simple acts of kindness.
And it doesn't take a lot of money. It doesn't take a lot of education. It doesn't take a lot of time to do those simple acts of kindness. And we don't know what kind of fruit it will bear down the road. We don't know what kind of change it might make in that person's life just because somebody responded to them in a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Well, Jim, the Vermilion County Mental Health 708 Board in Danville is very blessed, and I would say beyond lucky to have you, but we appreciate how you're serving and the roles you have there, touching so many lives, and appreciate your time and writing so many great stories for our Prime Life Times. So thank you for pinch hitting and short notice.
But, okay, all right.
You know, Jim, you were talking earlier about John 3:16, and I'm going to close out this program with a really fun little story of a child learning about John 3:16. May we all celebrate God's love for us and encourage somebody this very day, and may this song and the story that's told through it be an encouragement to you. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.
The city of Chicago, one cold, dark night. A blizzard was setting in. Little boy was selling newspapers on the corner. So cold, people were hurrying by, trying to get to their homes, where they'd be in out of the cold. Little boy wasn't selling many papers, so he walked up to a policeman. He said, "Mister, you wouldn't happen to know where a poor boy could find a warm place to stay tonight, would you?" He said, "You see, I sleep in a box around the corner, down the alley. Gets awful cold in there every night. Sure would be nice to have a warm place to stay." The policeman looked down at the little boy. He told him, "You go down the street, that big white house. Walk up the steps, knock on the door. When they come to the door, you just say, 'John 3:16. They'll let you in." So he did. He walked down the street to the big white house, walked up the steps, knocked on the door. A lady came to the door. He said, "John 3:16. She said, "Come on in, son." She took him into a big old split-bottom rocker in front of a big old fireplace. She went off and left him. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure does make a cold boy warm." Later, she came back in and she said, asking, "Are you hungry?" He said, "Well, just a little. I haven't eaten in a couple of days. I guess I could stand just a little bit of food." She took him into the kitchen to a big old table just full of nice food. He ate until he couldn't stand anymore. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure does make a hungry boy full." She took him upstairs to a bathroom, a big old bathtub just full of warm water. He sat and he soaked. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure does make a dirty boy clean. I don't guess I ever had a real bath in my whole life. Closest thing to a real bath I ever had was when I stood in front of the fire hydrant and they flushed him out." She took him into the bedroom, tucked him into a big old feather bed, pulled the covers up around his neck, kissed him goodnight, turned out the lights. He lay there in the darkness. The snow was coming down, so cold outside. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it, but it sure does make a tired boy rested." Next morning, she took him back down to that same big table full of food. After he ate, she took him back into that same big split-bottom rocker in front of the fireplace. She took down her Bible. She said, "Son, do you understand John 3:16? He said, "No, ma'am, I don't. First time I ever heard it was last night when the policeman told me to use it." She opened her Bible. She began to explain to him about Jesus, right there in front of that fireplace. The little boy gave his heart and his life to Jesus. He thought to himself, "John 3:16. I don't understand it. It sure did make this little lost boy saved. You know, I have to confess, I don't understand it either. Why God would send his son. Why Jesus would do such a wonderful thing to leave the splendor of heaven to walk on earth as man and die such a terrible death on the cross at Calvary. No, I don't understand it either. But you know what? Sure did make this old lost person sane.